All right, you guys can go ahead and grab your Bibles and open to the book of 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings 17 is where we'll be at tonight. That song we just sang there very well in many ways can go along with what I'm be sharing with you guys tonight. God leading us through our highs and lows, no matter what may be happening through our life. And you'll see some aspects of that pulled out through the message here tonight I have for you guys. I'm pretty excited as to what I have here that the Lord has brought before me. Now, I've been studying in the past week here. I wasn't sure exactly what the Lord was going to have for this evening. I was praying about it this past week. Eventually, I was going through the book of 1 Kings here, and this passage popped out to me, and I found it fairly interesting, something I never really, I don't think I personally ever heard before. Perhaps many of you guys may have heard this passage preached on before. But as I studied it this week, I believe this is where the Lord will have us to be tonight. But in 1 Kings chapter 17, we see the story of Elijah. This is the first time Elijah comes onto the scene. There's many applications we can get from this whole chapter. We can break it up into many sections, really, but I kind of want to look at the whole entire chapter as a whole. But one question I want to ask you guys is, what do you do when the brook dries up in your life? What do you do? I'm sure many of us have all faced that in our lives. Whatever that brook may be, maybe a hardship that God has suddenly thrown into our lives, maybe the passing of a loved one, something we don't understand, and all of a sudden in our life, the brook dries up. It doesn't make sense. What do you do? Many times as Christians, we get stuck where we have been for a number of years. Perhaps the Lord has been trying to move us on in life, but we have gotten dull of hearing. It's something that the Lord mentioned several times in the New Testament. He says to beware of dull of hearing. You know, many people, as the times go on, become more and more dull of hearing. It's not that we don't hear the Lord speaking to us, just that we're not really listening, we're not allowing it to sink in, we're not obeying his voice. And here, I'm going to look in 1 Kings chapter 17, we'll go ahead and read the first seven verses here, starting 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1. 1 Kings 17, 1 says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went, and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And he was completely happy, and he loved his life, and became a solitary person, and lived happily ever after." Right? Now, may I ask what the New Living Translation says, but... No, it says in verse 17, "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had not been no rain in the land." You know, sometimes God has to remove the comforts out of our life in order for us to get where we need to go. Are you willing for God to remove the comforts out of your life? What comforts are you sitting in right now, not willing to move? Let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Lord, I pray now as we look into this passage that you just reveal unto us, Lord, the things perhaps we may be hiding in our lives, Lord, perhaps areas in which we are comfortable living in. Lord, I pray that each one of us would examine our lives, and may we be willing to obey the next faith step that you have for us. I pray that you would use me tonight, Lord. May you guide my lips and be able to say what you have me to say and things that you won't have me to say that will hold them back, Lord. I pray that you bless the remainder of this service. In your name I pray. Amen. You know, the Christian life is to be a life where we talk with God and we let God talk with us, right? We come to the garden and we fellowship with him there. And it's a two-way kind of relationship. But I believe many of us Christians today, you know, we come before God We perhaps bring our whole list before him and say, God, you know what? I need this. I need this. Lord, I'm praying for this. I got this situation going on in my life. And perhaps we are not allowing God to speak back to us. We're not listening to the voice of God. Perhaps we are doing all the talking. We need to be listening when God talks to us. Are we interested in what God has to say? You know, I think of the story of Balaam, right? I believe all you guys probably know the story of Balaam here. Balaam is given a message by the Lord, says, you know what? I want you to go into, I forget the name of the people right now, but I says, I want you to go over there. If they come and basically pick you up, then you can go along with them, right? It comes morning, and immediately Balaam saddles up his mule or his donkey, or whatever it may be, and he heads off. He doesn't obey God. He says, you know what? I have a will, I have a desire, and this is what I'm going to do. He's not listening to God. So he goes on his way. He's riding his mule, and it comes, they're riding through the field, and all of a sudden this mule or donkey, it sees this angel with a sword. Immediately, what does the donkey do? It turns off to the side, right? The donkey turns off side, and immediately Balaam, he beats up the donkey, and they continue on their journey. Well, second time, they come to this kind of narrower wall area, and there again, the angel is the second time. Balaam can't see him, but Balaam is set with his desire and his will to go a certain direction. He has his will in life, and he's going to do it, no matter what. And donkey, he sees this angel, Lord, immediately goes off to the side into the wall and crushes Balaam's foot. And Balaam immediately beats up the donkey. Well, third time, they're moving along. They're coming to an even more narrow way where you can't turn to the left, you can't turn to the right. And the donkey sees this angel. And immediately, what does the donkey do? Just plops and sits right down, right? And won't move. And immediately, Balaam starts getting up, starts beating the donkey left and right. Immediately, the Lord allows the donkey to talk. And what does the donkey say to Balaam? He says to him, haven't I been obedient to you all these years? Like, don't you think there's something wrong here if I'm not obeying you? And what does God do to Balaam? He opens up his eyes. And Balaam's able to see the angel. He's like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'm not supposed to do this. And I believe many of us Christians are like that, right? We have a will, we have a desire. He said, you want this what I'm doing in life? And no matter what happens, I'm going to continue doing it. And that's what we can get stuck in. We can continue getting stuck just like Balaam is here. We can get set our minds and our life. And we have our minds made up. We're bound to do it. And we miss out on God's warnings in our life. No, God starts out with the little things. He was warning Balaam three times there. And finally, Balaam was able to realize it. This is a perfect example of dullness of hearing. Balaam was dull of hearing. He wasn't willing to listen to what God was having to say. He wasn't listening to the warnings. Sometimes we only hear from God the things we want to hear. And when God interrupts us on the path we are heading, we completely ignore it. You know, many times we try to get our wills and our desires to line up with God's will, right? Many times we'll say, do you know what? I believe this is God's will for my life. I believe this is my God's will for my life. And do you know what? Sometimes when somebody's saying that, you're like, wait a minute. All these God wills things you're saying in your life, it's lining up with your wishes. Do you know what? God's will may not line up with our wishes. Many times, God's will should line up with God's word. And that will not always line up with our wishes. God's will needs to line up with the Bible, not our wishes. You know, I think in the New Testament, the story of Paul. We hear of Paul in the New Testament, he prays to the Lord three times that he'll remove the thorn, where that thorn was in the flesh that was bothering him. He says, Lord, if you remove this thorn out of my life, you know what? I believe I could live a whole lot better ministry. I'd be able to be a lot more profitable. I'd be able to do a whole lot more good for you. Lord, if you just remove this thorn out of my life, I'd love that. And what does God say? He says, no, that's not my will. It's not my desire for you. You know, it may be your wish, but that's not God's will. We go through life many times with our minds made up, trying to achieve things, and we have our donkeys talking to us. We have God warning us along our journey. So here we see the story of Elijah. In this passage, God is telling Elijah what is best for him. Here Elijah is. He just got back from talking to Ahab. He says, do you know what? There's going to be no dew, no rain in the land. The land's going to dry up. And then the priest just one verse message right there to Ahab. And he goes off and the Lord says, go to the brook Cherub and I'll be able to take care of you there. You'll have the ravens that'll bring you meat and bread two times a day. And you have the brook there to live by. And that's what that's what Elijah does. He goes there, and he's got a pretty good deal going on, wouldn't you say? He's got a pretty good life set for him. How nice would it be to be living in the middle of a famine, everyone around you starving, they don't have any water, but here's Elijah being fed from the Lord two times a day by the ravens and basically having the brook to drink from for 3.5 years. I think he's got a pretty good set, right? Perhaps he's perhaps even getting comfortable in his life. He's happy where he is at. Then the brook dries up. Perhaps many of us have gotten accustomed to God providing for us in our life. How many of us got accustomed to the things that God has given us? Perhaps we don't even realize all the things that God has given us. We have taken for granted. You know, these things were provided for Elijah for 3.5 years. If everyone around you was starving and you were fed two times a day, don't you think you'd be thankful? Now, that's not the main message I have on thankfulness today, but I believe that's something we could apply from this passage right here. Now, here's Elijah. I'm sure he could be thankful for the many things that God's provided for him. And I believe God has provided miraculously for many of us here tonight as well. But perhaps we've gotten comfortable with the things that God has given us, and we're not being thankful for it. Perhaps we're taking food for granted, the food that we have on a daily basis. Set before us, we may be 3 meals a day. Perhaps it's a church that we can come to be able to open up God's word freely. Perhaps family, having a vehicle, clothing, whatever it may be. Elijah here was simply obeying God every step, and God was providing for him. And God had a plan for him to move on to the next step. I'm sure Elijah was settled in and happy to be where he was. But then in verse 7, we see that the brook dries up. It says in verse 7, it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. You know, if I was Elijah in that situation, here I am being provided by a Lord, and all of a sudden the provisions are gone, you know, I think I'd be pretty angry. I think I'd have a few complaints to give to the Lord. Lord, why did you allow this in my life? Why are you allowing the brook to dry up in my life? Perhaps we don't understand, but I believe the Lord recognizes that till he turns off the necessities for us, it's not going to get us to go where we need to go. And God had a faith journey he was going to teach Elijah, and he needed to do it by removing the brook from Elijah's life. Let's go ahead and read verses 8 and 9 here. 1 Kings 17, 8 and 9 says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. God doesn't send you somewhere he hasn't already prepared for you. Now, perhaps we have hardships that come to our life. We don't understand perhaps what they are, family member passing away, or some other brook that may dry up in our life, wherever it may be. But you know what? God has already provided the next step in your life. We may not see it. We don't understand. Elijah didn't understand this time. All he knew of the Lord was, arise and go. Go to the widow there, and she'll take care of you. You know, it took faith for Elijah to be able to do this. What could have Elijah done? Elijah could have just been perhaps like Balaam, been saying, do you want? No, I'm going to stay here. God's provided me for 3.5 years. I'm going to stay here by the brook. I believe the brook's going to start running again. I believe the ravens will perhaps start bringing food. I'm going to stay here. No, what's going to happen? You're going to be stranded in the wilderness and die. I think many of us Christians were like that as well. We believe we get comfortable with where we are at. We get comfortable in our daily lives. We get comfortable with our surroundings. And perhaps a hardship comes to our life and you're like, no, I'm just keep living life I am living right now. I'm comfortable, but we're not willing to take the next faith step. Here, Elijah has to step out in faith. believing that the Lord was going to provide. And here's another example that Elijah, he had to listen to God. You know, if Elijah, if he was dull of hearing, he wouldn't have listened to God. He wouldn't have obeyed God. But he was listening to God, what he had for him. So let's look at this widow here. In the next few verses, we see the widow being discussed about here from verses 8 through 16. But let's begin in verse 10 here. So he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And she was going to fetch it, and he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring unto me. And after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, unto the day that the Lord sendeth the rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Quick side note here. You know, we see the widow. I find this very fascinating. Of all people that God calls to provide for Elijah, who do you think God would call? Definitely not a widow. Definitely not a widow, one, in the middle of a famine, two, having a son to provide for, and three, with no food and possibly even no water. All she had was enough for her and her son to eat. To what? She said she'd rather eat it and die. This doesn't make sense. Here God calls a widow, and she's told him that Elijah's going to be coming, and God tells her, I want you to provide for this man. You know, this is going to be a faith journey for this widow. Definitely something that not she wasn't expecting. This is going to be an impossible journey that she was going to have to go on. You know, it takes faith to obey God when your brook is dried up to see the impossible done through you. And here, she had an impossible mission, right? I mean, she had basically no food. And Elijah says, basically, take your food and make it for me. So here we see the widow. Elijah comes to the town there, finds a widow gathering sticks to make a fire, be able to make this meal for her and her son to eat. But Elijah says, make some for me, and the Lord will provide for you. And anyway, we see her obey Elijah, and God provides in a miraculous way. But what happens in a few verses after that? What happens there in the end of the chapter that perhaps neither of these characters were expecting? What happens? Wait, what? The son dies. Now that doesn't make sense. God calls this widow to be able to take care of him so that they can live, to take care of Elijah. Now he's fed. He's ready to go on preaching, go on his way. And God takes her son? I tell you what, I think her brook just dried up. I think perhaps once the cruse of oil was being filled, perhaps once the meat was there all the days, you know, perhaps she was getting comfortable. Perhaps she was not needing the provider anymore. Perhaps she was getting satisfied with the provision that she perhaps forgot the provider. And the Lord takes her son away. Don't you find that odd? Here she is, obeying Elijah. She does exactly everything. She obeys him exactly the way he tells her to. She does it immediately, everything. Yet her son dies. Has that ever happened to you, Christian? Perhaps you're living your Christian life. You know, you're trying to live your best for God. You're doing everything God tells you to. I mean, you go to church on a weekly basis. You're having your daily devotions with God. Perhaps you're soul winning, whatever. You're living a good life. and bam, your son dies. This doesn't make sense. You know, if I do what God says, when God says, the way God says, and my boy dies, you know, I think I'm going to be questioning God. I'm having some questions for God. I'm going to say, why? I don't deserve this. Why would you take my son from me? Why would you let that happen? Her brook dries up. Has this ever happened to you? You're trying to live your life with God, and suddenly God throws a curveball you haven't even seen, right in the middle of your life. You know, all her future plans are now thrown out the window for her boy. Perhaps she had savings set up for this boy. Perhaps she had plans for him to do whatever kind of work in the future. Gone. Her will, her desires, her path that she was heading on, gone. I mean, I know perhaps as a mother and a son relationship there, that there probably had even more of a bond. And here, I'm very surprised, and I really admire her character. Because in the next verse, I believe it's in verse 18, she has her dead son. Perhaps she wakes up that morning, right? She's starting to make breakfast. She calls her son, come on, get up. Let's go, I got some breakfast for you. I mean, Lord's provided. He's provided all the food we need. He got our water, we got our cruise oil here. Come on, get up. She comes over to her boy, he's dead. She picks up her boy and she goes to Elijah. And what does she say? What does it say there in verse 18? It says in verse 18, hast thou called my sin to repentance? You know, I'm very shocked. For me, I would have said, why would you allow this, Elijah? God, this is your fault. You're doing something wrong here. This isn't right. I think God's messed up. You know, I think God doesn't know what he's doing. But no. You know, she has character. She's realized. She's taken her son to Elijah, and she says, hast thou called my sin to repentance? You know, she's saying, it's my fault. You know, I don't understand why you had to take my son, but, you know, I see there's perhaps something in my life you're trying to get a hold of. And what does she have to do? She comes to Elijah, and she has to listen. She's listening to Elijah. What does God have to say about this? She's not dull of hearing. She's ready to receive whatever the Lord has for her. She's ready for her next faith step. And in verse 19, we go on and move on there in verse 19. And what's the very first question that Elijah says to this widow? What is it? First four words. Give me thy son. Wow. I mean, here she is. She's gone through this whole entire famine. She barely has any food. She's been struggling in life. Lord miraculously provides for her. And then her son dies, her brook dries up, and now Elijah says, give me your son? Elijah says, hand me over your son. Boy, I don't know if I'll be able to do that. Hand it over my son? You know, we can see a lot of attachment between mother and son. I think of even Jesus and Mary, right? When Mary went to the tomb, you know, she loved Jesus as her own son. And what she say to the gardener? Even though Jesus is dead, I mean, even though this widow's son is dead, even though Jesus is dead, what does Mary say to the gardener, who she thought was a gardener? Where hast thou laid him? You know, there's a bond there. She wants him. But she was willing to give up her son. I have a question for you guys. Are you willing to give up your son, whatever it may be in your life? What is the son that you're clinging to? What is your wills? What is your desires? The path that you're heading, are you willing to give it up? No, we're all going to face our dried brooks. We're all going to face our sons dying. Are we willing to hand it over to the Lord and listen what the Lord has for us? Ready to take the next faith step. You know, I'm surprised the woman just didn't say, do you know what? I quit. This is enough. I can't handle this. You know, that's probably what I would have done. Verse 19, he says unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, Hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. And the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. So here's Elijah. He takes a child. He goes up into, up to the upper room, I believe, or something. Anyway, he takes his child, and he prays over his child. You know, if you're Elijah in that situation, I mean, you don't know what's going on. I mean, hindsight is 20/20. If you're already understanding what's going on, we see the whole path. We understand why God did all of this. But here's Elijah. He doesn't understand. He's confused just as much as this lady is. So he takes his child who's dead, takes him up, and starts praying over his child. What would you pray? Would you have faith? Binding your son. You know what I believe God is calling us to, perhaps, bind our sons. What may our sons be in our life? Are you ready to give it up? Abraham here was. He was obeying God no matter how hard it was. He was acting out in faith. You know, Abraham's brook went dry that day. Everything went dry. He didn't understand God. Yet he was willing to move, obey, and he bound his son, was willing to obey the Lord. I have a question for you guys. Are you loving the provision or the provider? You know, God's looking at Elijah. He says, Elijah, you've gotten accustomed to the provision I've been providing you for 3.5 years here with the ravens and the brook. I need to bring you back to remembering who the provider is. Says to the widow, you know, you've gotten accustomed to having your son around, being able to provide all these things. You've gotten accustomed to the provision. Do you remember who the provider is? Here he says to Abraham, you know, I've given your son. It's come due time now. I've given him to you. You've gotten accustomed to the provision. Do you remember who the provider is? Verse 12. Genesis 22:12, and he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know. What does it say there? Now I know that thou fearest. God didn't say, now I know that you love me. He says, now I know that you fear me. What kind of fear is this? This is not the kind of fear that makes you want to run away from God. This is the kind of fear that makes you not want to leave God. It makes you not want to leave his commandments. It makes you want to stay by him. It says, now I know that you, not that you love me, that you fear me. Now, I'm not saying for you to go out and sacrifice your son, but I would like to challenge you guys to think that perhaps, what are the Isaacs in your life? What are those things that we have gotten accustomed to, that we've perhaps fallen in love with? Has God had enough of the idols in your life? What things are you comfortable with in your life? You know, it's so easy as Christians just to live the Christian life, not taking faith steps. You know, it's so easy. I mean, I even think of Peter walking on water. You know, it's so easy just to stay in the boat and live the Christian life right there. It's so easy to live the Christian life, to go on through your whole life and die and go to heaven. But God has faith steps for you to take. He has a lot to do through your life. And perhaps God is trying to get a hold of your life. Perhaps he's drying up brooks. Perhaps he's asking you to offer up your Isaacs. Perhaps he's having sons die in your life. He's trying to get a hold of your life. He wants you to move on. He doesn't want you to be stagnant. He doesn't want you to be dull of hearing. He's got the next faith step for you to take in your life. Are you willing to take it? You know, Isaacs are something God gave us, intended for his glory, but it become dominant in your life. What may they be? Friendships? Perhaps it could be friendships in your life that become dominant. Having spent time with friends, I mean, friendships aren't bad, but have they taken the place of God? Maybe about family, money, time, reputation, whatever it may be. What are those Isaacs in our life? What are you going to do when the brook dries up? Are you going to listen, move, and obey? Or are we going to become dull of hearing and continue to push on in our own way, trying to accomplish our own wills in our own life, their own set desire and our own goals? You know, if you don't sacrifice your Isaacs, you don't give up the things in your life, we're going to become Christians who are dull, stagnated. I believe perhaps many of us have become accustomed to that. It's become easy just to come to church every week, sit here underneath the preaching, move on through our weeks, go through the same routine, become dull, stagnated. You know, in the book of Ecclesiastes there, the preacher at the very end of the book there, he says, at the end of the whole matter is what? Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Are you fearing God? Are you keeping his commandments? This is the whole duty of man. This is what God has set before us. Are we willing to listen? Are we willing to obey? Now, I hate it to see more brooks dried up in my life. But I know when they do, I mean, we can use them to take that next faith step. Don't fall back. Don't continue to try to push on your own way. The Lord uses those hard times in your life for you to grow. He wants to see you to move on. Are you going to fear God? No, God doesn't ask you for your son right off the bat. You know, just like Balaam, he gave him his warnings 3 times. You know, Abraham, he was there already practicing. He was offering his the birds, the rams on the altar many times. The Lord was preparing him for an impossible task. You know, perhaps the Lord has given us small warnings in our life. He said, hey, you're starting to become dull. You're getting accustomed, you're getting a little too comfortable there by the brook. Are we going to recognize God's work in our life, or are we going to become dull of hearing and dry? Have we become comfortable by the brook? You know, God has a lot of things for our life to move on forward to. And I'm excited to see where he has to take us here in 2025. I mean, it's still early on in the year. A lot to look forward to, move on to. A lot to see, but the Lord's not going to be able to use you this year if you're just dull and stagnated with your own mission in mind. God wants you to take the next faith step. Don't be comfortable by the brook. Move forward on for him. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for this challenge of Elijah here, and the widow, and Abraham. Lord, I pray that we not be accustomed, that we don't get comfortable by the brook, that we don't get happy with the provisions that you provide for us, Lord, that you have to get a hold of our lives. Lord, I know many times we may not understand the hard things we may even be going through right now at this time, Lord, but Lord, we can look now back on Elijah's life, we can look back on the widow's life, and everything makes sense. Lord, may we look to you, Lord, understanding that you have cleared the path ahead for us, Lord, and that may we just take the next faith step, Lord, expecting for you to deliver. Lord, I pray that as we go on in our lives, Lord, may we look to you, and may we continue to fear you and keep your commandments. I pray so in your name. Amen.